Hello and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice, bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. We have a very special program tonight in what appears to be one of the most significant military attacks by the Islamic State or Daesh since its military defeat in 2019 at Baghouz by the Syrian Democratic Forces. Clashes between the SDF units and ISIS members have continued today from yesterday in Hasaka City, northeast Syria, after a largely foiled attempt by ISIS to free prisoners from a detention center there. The detention center in Khiweran neighborhood of Hasaka, housing around 5,000 detainees affiliated with ISIS, was stormed by groups of ISIS fighters on Thursday. The attack was thwarted by units of the internal security and the SDF. As ISIS militants who carried out the attack and a number of detainees who broke out went into hiding in the nearby Zihur neighborhood, the area was surrounded by SDF units and armed clashes have been continuing. The armed clashes continued both inside and outside of Sinha prison on Friday, and according to local sources, 89 detainees were recaptured outside the prison, Rojava Information Center reported. At least six ISIS fighters and an undisclosed number of SDF fighters were killed in the clashes, according to Yahoo News. A firefighter was also killed reportedly during the clashes, and the situation is ongoing. So we are joined this evening to talk about these dramatic events by Salih Muslim, a key member of the Co-Presidency Council of the Democratic Union Party, PYD, speaking from his home in the Autonomous Administration, Northeast Syria. Salih is a very well-known figure to our followers and readers, as he has been one of the most prominent Kurdish spokespersons during much of the Syrian civil war and the Rojava Revolution. Abdul Karim Umar, the co-chair of the Foreign Relations Department of the Autonomous Administration of North and East Syria, today reportedly said that foreign states are partially responsible for the situation in Hasaka. He said, "These incidents are the result of the foreign states' inability to fulfill their duties. True, at Baghouz, we brought an end to ISIS military presence to the region. However, the terrorism by ISIS is far from over. The victory was merely military. ISIS is still active. Sleeper cells are attacking all the time in places that have been under ISIS control for years. ISIS ideology has not disappeared." Welcome to Media News, Mr. Salih Muslim. Do you agree with those comments? And can you give us any further details of the dramatic events as they are unfolding in Hasaka?
Yes, thank you for you and your audience also. This attack, Daesh, since they have broken in Baghouz, they never stopped. And the weak point is those prisoners. We have them in the prison and also in the Al-Hol camp, which there are civilians, mostly are women and children. And we talked to our partners, all the times, especially the coalition, international coalition, that they should help us for this reason, for protecting and to find solution for them and to do what they can, and even for this women and children to be returned, because, as you know, and there were so many crimes inside the Al-Hol camp, every day one or two people, they were killed by, silencers and so, but nobody is taking care, nobody is caring about, even for this. Now, 1 month before, there was one was captured. He was the one Daesh emir or leaders, let's say. He admitted that he joined the Daesh since 2013, and since then he's around. He fought in Kobani and other places and in many clashes, and he was preparing himself for the this attack on the in this prison, I mean those Hasaka prison. So they were preparing themselves, and him and about 12 members of his cells, they were captured, and their plan was, throat, and what they have admitted, that they were preparing maybe about 25 or 30 people to make the same plans, to attack by these cars, bomb cars on the gates of the prison, and then to go inside the prison and release them and to give them the weapon. I mean, he was detailed in everything. And the other thing, he admitted that he was getting the weapon and all supplements, by just maybe money and even the cars, the weapons. He was getting them from the occupied areas by Turkey and from Serikani and other places. So it means there are some others are supporting. And secondly, he said maybe he got some weapons also from Iraq, coming from Iraq through Daesh and Iraq. They are connected to each other. They are just like a network working together. And these plans were for them to attack the prison, this prison in Hasaka. And exactly what it was his plan was, done, or executed, his plans.
Yeah.
By attacking this prison. So they attacked firstly by a car and motorcycle, and they dropped in, in the prison. There were some prisoners, they were able to escape outside, and their cells, maybe they were preparing for this infiltration, maybe since a long time ago, to all these snipers close to the prison, and with their weapons, they were very well prepared, attacked and planned very well. And since yesterday, still, the fighting is going on in the prison, inside the prison, outside the prison, and all the neighborhoods of the prison, Zara and other places. And they were just those cells, many of them, they were escaped into the city. And the number maybe approximately, they are talking about 80 or 90 people. So it means many sleeping cells. They were preparing together and working in coordination, with the inside. So maybe they have relations with the inside. Until now, still, there are many people that were captured again, especially those who were able to get out of the prison. And some of them, they were outside, they were killed. Many of them, they were killed. And they were also killed the civilians. And some of those civilians, which they refused to cooperate with them, they were slaughtered, just as a matter of what Daesh was doing. The same methods, they were slaughtered. Their heads were cut, chopped. So they are doing the same till now. And we don't know, maybe it will finish maybe tonight or tomorrow, but still the fighting going on. The reason for slowing the operation is because they infiltrated into the civilians. So you have to be careful for the civilians, to rescue them, not to make them, in their hands, because they are just killing everybody, not doing what they want from them. And even they are slaughtering some of them. So you have to be careful with dealing with them. And there are a lot of reinforcement for the YPG and Democratic Syrian Forces and others all together. And by this afternoon, there was some cars coming from Tiltana for support these forces in Hasaka. and the car was hit by a drone. I mean, by drone by Turkey.
Has that been confirmed, Sally?
Yes.
I mean, that is really extraordinary that, you know, if you are saying that, you know, we have a prison of full of 5,000 ISIS prisoners who are at the moment in revolt, they have help from the outside, they're trying to escape, and Turkey are actually firing missiles from drones at people who are coming to reinforce the forces who are fighting that. I mean, it doesn't bear really thinking about that if Turkey was to increase this, that, you know, the very thought of 5,000 ISIS militants escaping from that prison, it doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
Well, yes. So this is what I am doing. I mean, from the beginning, what we were saying, I mean, it's not enough to defeat Daesh in Baghouz or some areas without these territories and get from them. The problem is that Daesh is ideological and they have their own mentality. And if they find somebody supporting them or helping them or trying to use them for their purposes, they are ready to do it. And before you think of finishing Daesh, if you are thinking really to finish Daesh, you have to cut the ways for support to them. For Iraq, we don't, the military, Iraqi military is fighting against them. It's okay, maybe there will be some, infiltration from them to Syria. This is okay. But for Turkey, and as they, I mean, this emir who was representing them, admitted, and he was in the media, I mean, he said openly, we were getting everything from these occupied areas by Turkey, from Serikani, from Tel Abyad, through Raqqa. He was sitting in Raqqa, he captured in Raqqa. So this is, I mean, you have to stop those sides who are supporting terrorism, because maybe you cannot finish the ideology and the mentality of these people, but if they cut this support to them, so they wouldn't be able to do anything, I mean, these terrorist actions. So this is the way I'm saying it.
I mean, if the Western powers are listening, these are very loud warning bells, aren't they? These are very loud warning bells about what, you know, could possibly happen in the northeast of Syria. Do you expect any reaction from the international coalition against ISIS to take any action against Turkey, for example?
Well, I don't know really, but they are now sharing in the fighting. In the prison, they are controlling, and they have their helicopters, and they have their planes going around, and they have bombed a building which was close to the prison. Some of them, they were inside the building, snipers killing the people. So they bombed it. So it's going on. I mean, they are sharing in this operation against this prison operation. So they know the reality what's going on. And maybe they have listened to this emir who said that they are getting support from Turkey and the weapons from Turkey. So maybe they are aware of this one, but I don't know if they are going to take any action or not, because I think it depends on the political decision by the United States, mostly.
Of course. Salim Muslim, so tonight, what would be your message to the international community about the threat, the renewed threat that ISIS poses to the West and to the Middle East?
Well, from the beginning, we said, I mean, this matters to be taken very seriously. Can you imagine those 5,000 people in this, if they are spread around, what they are going to do? Yeah, can you imagine it a threat? I mean, there are many of them. I mean, maybe they are not Syrians. Maybe most of them are Syrians or Iraqis, but there are Westerns also among them. So if they are spread around, what they will do is a threat for all the world. So I think this matter, I mean, this ISIS matter is not related to us only. It's not our problem only. It's an international problem. And we were saying from the beginning, I mean, even these sleeping cells all around are supported and so on. So it's international matter for everybody. They should think of it and cutting the ways for supporting these sleeper cells, I mean, in Syria and everywhere, and trying because, and I think for this prison and also El Hol camp, which contains more than 50,000 now, there are around 60,000 women and children, and I mean, even men, they are over there in the El Hol camp. It's an international problem. I think United Nations should be involved in it. Should take care of it, should do it, should control it. Can you imagine? I mean, we are talking about this civilian organization, NGOs, or these civilians, many establishments and so, aid establishment by any names. They are taking the weapons inside the camp of Al Hol. And there are many, many people that escaped through them because they are getting money, or they are finding their ways how to go out, and even by this Red Cross or Red Crescent, whatever, they are working in the camp, and even the Asayish and the people who are looking after the camp, they wanted to maybe to control them. They said, no, you shouldn't control, it's not humanity, and they are talking about the human rights and respect. So every day there are some people are being killed, and we find some of them escaping to Turkey, and through Turkey is going to some other places. So I think they should restrict something to do about this camp also. Not only the prison. The prison, okay, is a prison. Can you imagine this prison? It was a school, I mean, before turn it to a prison. How you can keep them in the school? I mean, it's very dangerous. I mean, it's not a proper place for them. So this is the situation. I think United Nations should take care of it. That is international. Everybody who's who's taking care, I mean, or at least, I mean, involved in this terrorism, and they don't want this terrorism to be spread around, they should cooperate with the democratic Syrian forces. They should cooperate with the administration to find solution for it. We were preparing, I mean, to have an international court in our places because nobody will accept them.
Yeah.
So we prepared to look for the international court here in Rojava and even in Kobani, because the most crimes, they were there, I mean, against humanity. So there should be a court over there, and I mean, everybody should share in it and do it to find solution for those people. Otherwise, they are a dangerous threat for everybody, not for ourselves only. Maybe if there is a fighting, you can kill some of them. The others will escape to go out, but it's a threat for everybody. So this is the way we think is an international problem, and everybody should take care of it, not only the prisoners, but also those people, their families, in the whole camp and the other camps.
So this is years and years of the international community ignoring and turning their back on the responsibility that they should take to their own foreign nationals, especially who have joined ISIS. Many of them have refused to even take their own citizens for trial back in their country of origin. So, I mean, as you say, you have been for years and years warning about this situation. And tonight, there are very loud warning bells ringing about, you know, those warnings being ignored. What could be the consequences of them? Sally, I would just like, while I do have you, I know that the connections aren't fantastic there at the moment, but we have just had the fourth anniversary of the invasion and the occupation of the Kurdish city of Afrin by Turkey and their forces. We witnessed over the last couple of days tens of thousands of very emotional scenes of Afrin refugees from Afrin who were forcibly displaced by those Turkish forces, very determinedly, with great dignity and pride, standing up and demanding a return to Afrin, saying that the fruits of the resistance will be the return of Afrin. Do you want to just say a couple of words about that?
Most of the people, they should know the situation of Afrin before the occupation to see the reality now. Afrin was liberated from the regime since 2012. And because there was a safe, and even there were some attacks around Afrin from Jabhat al-Nusra, from the other groups, I mean, all tried to come into inside Afrin and fight and to do what they can. And Afrin was able to defend themselves against them. Because of that, it was a safe place, really, a safe haven for all the people, maybe immigrated from Aleppo, from Damascus, from all the places which witnessed the war of Syria. So the Afrin population was around 500,000 people, 500,000. But by these immigrants from the other places, from Aleppo, Damascus, Homs, and so on, increased to 1,200,000. So it was almost two doubles of the population over there. And even for the industrials and for the traders and so, from Aleppo, as you know, the traders, I mean, Aleppo is the place for those traders, mostly, I mean. So they, all of them, and even for the workshops, for clothes and so, most of them, they came to Afrin. It was a nice place for them, and everybody was safe, living together. It was really, it was an example for the democratic nation, our project, which we are calling for. The Arabs, I mean Armenians, Syriacs, everybody was there and living together without any problem till this invasion, because Turkey could not stand with this democratic nation theory and living together in all one area, and especially they were able to administer themselves, I mean. So it was a part of the democratic self-administration. All the institutions, there was also the University of Afrin, all the, I mean, teachers, schools in Kurdish, Arabic, and other languages. I mean, all they were together. And there were attacks. There were attacks by the other groups. I mean, those, as I mentioned, I mean, the Nusra and the other Muslim Brotherhood groups, they were around Ahrar al-Sham, Kataib al-Sham, Faylaq al-Sham, whatever it is. And the Afrin people, they were able to defend themselves against this group. Till there was a concept for all these powers, I mean the Russians, the Turkish, maybe even the international coalition, maybe in the Syrian regime, the Iranians, all of them, they accepted, I mean they gave the green light for Turkey to occupy Afrin. And since then, of course, Afrin was, of course, I mean, the different situation. But the attacks when came from Turkey, maybe they were, of course, their mercenaries. Somebody, or Syria, or Turkey, wanted to show that there is people, I mean, attacking Afrin. They are Syrians, and called many names, if it's National Army, whatever it is, I mean, what call them. But actually, Afrin attacked. I mean, first day there were 72 planes, and they used very sophisticated weapons. And even it was first time they are using drones, which our people over there, I mean, the people who defending Afrin, they were not ready to fight against the drones. They didn't have such experience for that. And all technology by the NATO, they were in the hand of Turkey, because Turkey was a part of it. even they used, I mean, those German tanks, I mean, in the attack. And nobody, everybody kept silent. And in spite of that, I mean, because Turkey, as we know, they never care about any rule or any ethical measurements or anything. Even they cut one month, I mean, the people in Afrin, they were without water because they bombed the pumping station of the water for Afrin. And in spite of everything, all the, I mean, resistance was for 58 days. It wasn't against some troops attacking or some groups attacking. It was against NATO, let's say clearly. All these sophisticated drones, wars, and whatever it is. And maybe the people of YPG saying a few people of our members, they were killed by bullets, by gun. Most of them, they were attacked by the weapons and attacked by drones. So, and the people of Afrin, of course, they resisted till the hospitals were bombed. The hospital inside Afrin were bombed, and the civilians and so on. So it was a kind of a genocide against them. So this was the situation. And now, I mean, yesterday there was annual, I mean, of the occupation of Afrin. Maybe tens of thousands of people all around, I mean, they were demonstrating, calling to liberate Afrin. And as you know, maybe 120,000 people of Afrin people, they are just in the camps around Afrin and looking every day for the moment how to return to Afrin. And inside, I mean, there are some people left inside Afrin. They are still resisting till now. I mean, like every day maybe you can hear some soldiers or some members of those mercenaries being killed. So there is a resistance going on. So this is the situation now. And of course, I mean, it's really our deep want. I mean, we should find a solution for it. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Salih Muslim, key member of the Co-Presidency Council of the Democratic Union Party, PYD, speaking to us from the Autonomous Administration of North and East Syria. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts tonight about the recent...
Well, firstly, I want to explain something.
Yes, please.
To take the, yeah. For these attacks, I mean, we can say the timing between, closing the borders on all the line for the in our area, and those sleeping cells moving by Daesh, I mean all around, and this attack in the prison, and the attacks from Turkey everywhere. I mean, all of those actions, they came after the Astana agreement, the last meeting of Astana. So it was decisions in Astana. Saying that we have, I mean, in northeast of Syria, we have separatists, and those should be finished, and this model should be kept out, and so on. So all these articles in the announcement after the meeting, they were against this democratic self-administration in here, and this is the result of that. Even this Daesh movement, closing the borders, the gates to our areas, pressuring by the military, by the Turkish side attacks. So, and even there is a special war also going on, I mean, by propaganda and trying to take some people to their sides, and maybe by bribing them or giving them the money, giving them money then just to keep, to take them to their side. So everything is the result of this Astana agreements. And Astana, you know who was meeting over there. There were maybe Russians representing the Syrian regime also. And there were Iranians, there were Turkish, so all of them. And this is the results of the sequences of this Astana meeting. This is the point I think everybody who... involved in Syrian issues should know very well.
So well, thank you. Thank you very much for making that point, and
give me the opportunity.
It's always a pleasure and a great honor, Salih Muslim. So thank you so much again, and we will be keeping a very close eye on events over the next couple of days, and perhaps get back to you. Thank you, Salih, very much. Good evening. Shabash.